Paul Andrews, and the stunningly gorgeous Jill Serkin here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio.
That's a pondering.
Yeah, I just had a
What's on your mind?
I've had a tweet from Martin Reeves.
He said, I found Boo Boo and Yogi Bear.
Yeah, yeah. He said, I heard that petrol stations are refusing to pass on the 5% on fuel duty to the public. It said it should be law that they have to, but apparently not. Well, there's a problem there because they don't pay the duty because it's the duty that's been reduced. And petrol stations can charge what they like for petrol. And I agree with Martin totally because I know local petrol stations to me that the day before it happened, they put their prices up 10p and then reduced them 5p.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. It's a con. The thing is to shop around and you know, if you don't use the petrol stations that are overcharged, they'll soon put their prices down. Mm. Because the spot price of petrol on the markets is quite low.
Yeah.
So there's no excuse for it being this high.
We very rarely ever get it back, though, do we? Even when oil prices go down, a couple of years ago they were down really low, and it never really gets into our pocket, does it? There's always that huge lag.
Yeah, but again, it's back to taxes. 69% of a gallon of petrol in old money, 69% is taxes and VAT and duty.
Yeah.
Yeah, 69%. A gallon of petrol is about threepence.
Yeah.
I was in London the other day and I had to actually pay for my diesel before I put it in.
Right.
Really?
Yeah. With a mortgage.
Yeah.
What, did they?
Yeah.
Prepay.
That was their policies.
So procedure. They must have a lot of people running.
Yeah, it was up near Blackheath. So, yeah, we had to pay first and then we fill up the tank.
Right. Nice. I always go to my local Tesco because then I get club card points at least. If I can, I always fill up there or Sainsbury's for the old nectar.
Right.
Do you, Paul Andrews, get your Tesco club card out when you do it? When you fill up? Do you use any loyalty cards or anything?
My local petrol station is John Page Trailers at Biddenden, and they're a little local one-off petrol station. They don't do Tesco's or any other kind of loyalty card.
I'm so old that I remember in the days when they would come out and fill your petrol for you.
Yeah.
They come out in little dungarees.
Yeah, and wipe your screen over.
Yeah, yeah, lovely that was. They still do that in America and quite a lot of abroad countries, they tend to do it. I was going to say something else. Oh, yeah, but you can use, like, I've got my business card is it Santander I've got? Or one of them. I'll have a look in a minute. And you get air miles with it. Right. So that I often use that. I'll put it here, I think. Yeah. So that's quite a good one. Yeah, Santander, I think I get air miles with.
Right, okay. It's all right if you want to go to Spain then.
Yeah, if they'll let me in.
Yeah.
You never know.
You haven't been for a while, have you?
No, I know. My little house has still got no electric.
Is that?
It's sitting there rotting on a hill.
Right.
And I'm going to Ibiza, as you know. I've booked a villa. Whether I can get there or not is another matter. I'm ever hopeful.
And are they ever going to restore the electric to your house in Spain?
Yeah, they are. But honestly, it's been...
But you really should have paid the bill, Jude.
No, but we did. We have. And we've just sorted it all out. And we've just got to press the red button, a bit like Putin, really. It's like, or Biden, whatever his name is. So my new husband said, it's been off for 4 months. The place is empty. What's the point? You know, when we're going, I think the youngest is going out there with Mimi, his girlfriend, in June. So we'll press the red button in sort of June the 1st.
And hope it works.
And hope it works. But I just hope that my housekeeper, who goes in every now and then, every once a month or something, we pay her on a ongoing. I hope she's opened my fridge. She's had the brain to open my fridge, otherwise it'll just be black mould, won't it?
And not only that, what's she doing? Because she can't hoover.
No, well, I'm sure she's hoovered when we left. She doesn't go in and hoover every month because there's no mess or dust because the house is just sitting there airless.
So what does she do?
I don't know, prances about files and nails. But, you know, she has a very nice life because we pay her monthly and we never go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
She probably goes and just opens the door, lets a bit of air in, lets the insects out.
Let's the mozzies out.
Yeah.
There you go. Right. I think we can do... You can choose. You can do an email or a tweet. I don't mind which.
A choice.
And then we're going to talk to the lovely Emily.
Well, I want to read about this new sushi takeaway because I do like a little sushi.
Read it and then, because it confused me.
I will. Oh, did it? It's not often you're confused. So a new sushi takeaway has launched in Ashford and it's hoping to set a trend for home-based businesses in the town. husband and wife team Sui Ho and Hui Sheng from Singleton launched Sumo Sushi on March the 1st, which serves authentic home-cooked Japanese cuisine. Oh, it sounds delicious.
Hold on, that's what got me. Now, call me a heathen, but isn't sushi raw?
Well, yeah, it is, but they'll also be doing cooked stuff as well, won't they? It won't just be raw salmon. It'll be, yeah, it's raw. But they'll be doing rice with it and accompaniments.
Okay. I can work out home-cooked sushi kind of sounded a bit like an oxymoron, but you're right, they've got to cook the rice.
Yeah, you don't just go in and have a bit of raw salmon. You have your pickles on the side as well. I love those pickles, don't you? That ginger one. Do you like that, the sliced ginger?
Ginger. Thin sliced ginger.
Yeah, you were trying to think of Japanese.
No. I was trying to think of thin sliced.
So Mr. Ho has more than 10 years experience cooking, heating it up, cooking Japanese food, having previously worked as a chef at Nippon Izakaya restaurant Nippon, it sounds like a car, doesn't it? But since moving to Ashford a year ago and struggling with the commute, the 40-year-old has quit his job. See, quit. I think that's American as well. Didn't he leave?
Yeah.
Or hand in his notice?
He quit.
Anyway, he's quit. I think that's American. He's quit his job in London. I'm going to say he left his job in London. It makes me feel better. And decided to set up the home-based business, which he describes as a takeaway. He said takeaway, not takeout. So that's made me happy. Just without the shop.
Awesome.
He added, I've always liked cooking and I learned to cook different cuisines as a child and I then moved into Japanese foods. I would like to hop down and see this. I don't know where Singleton is.
It's in Ashford.
How far from here?
About a mile.
There you are. Well, I could pop in on the way and we could eat it here in the studio. Yeah. I was going to say, as I drove out this morning, the queue, again, this gets my goat, the queue for McDonald's drive-through
for breakfast
was right round the whole Sainsbury's roundabout out on the road. There must have been 40 cars queuing, sitting in the car with their engines running, too fat and waddly to get out of the car and go in and get it themselves. I'm sorry, it makes my... How long does it take to boil an egg? 3 minutes?
Only if you know the recipe.
Did you see my little breakfast this morning, by the way, that I did?
I did, yeah.
It was very pleasant, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
It was a... What did I call it? An avo-back...
I don't know.
Something. I made it up. It was avocado, it was bacon, and it was pepper. So it was avo back pep, I called it.
Smashed avocado, very middle class.
Yeah, but the bacon and the pep, the red pepper, was done in the air fryer.
Was it?
You got to get one. They're so good. Ninja. Very good.
Yeah. Anyway. Do you know what? Let's talk to somebody sensible, for goodness sake.
So fed up with talking to you, Paul.
It's an absolute wonderful pleasure to introduce to all of you lucky listeners out there, Emily Lockwood, Emily from Accelerate Consulting. Emily, thank you so much, one, for joining us, two, for putting up with this nonsense for an hour already.
She's been guffawing behind the scenes.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Emily, thanks for joining us. I want to kick off. First of all, just tell us a bit about Accelerate. So I want to do this backwards. So tell us what you do, and then I want to move to why you did it and what made you start it and what your background is.
Yeah, so Accelerate Consulting, we're a sales agency.
Right.
So we're a team of sales experts that help clients to drive their business forward.
Right. Sales is one of those things, isn't it? It's especially in the UK, but lots of people are really, I'm not salesy. Yeah, especially business owners go, I don't like sales. And you can tell they don't like sales because they don't make any effort to actually sell.
That's right. Yeah, they put it in their diary and they're like, we're going to do sales calls Thursday. And it gets to Thursday and it's like, we need to look at our accounts. Yeah. And then it's like next Thursday. But we're a team of people that absolutely love making sales calls. So
right.
We're keen to do it every day.
Fantastic. Because it is a particularly British thing that we don't do selling. And we even treat it a little bit as if it was, not nice.
Yeah.
But it's ridiculous. Really. That's absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. Many, many years ago, I lived and worked in the United States. And you can actually get a degree in sales, not marketing, in actual sales. And having a job in sales is a highly regarded profession, which is... And it should be, because it's pretty important for most businesses.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's something we don't do very well, the most part of people. But I guess that's why you're there.
Yes.
Yeah, to help people do it. But let's now reverse that and just tell us a little bit about your background, because I know you've got an interesting backstory here, and I want to hear that, and I want to hear what made you start Accelerate and when you started it.
Yeah, so my background is originally hospitality, but hospitality sales. So right. I've always had a passion to talk to people and drive businesses forward. But I was actually made redundant. I was working at a hotel in London, and I was made redundant just before Boris locked down.
Which right. hotel?
The Tower Hotel.
Lovely, I know.
Oh, right, yeah.
Right by St. Catherine's Dock,
yeah,
which lovely. Is beautiful. So I drove out of London, and I still wasn't really taking the pandemic that serious at that point. I don't think anyone really
well, yeah,
knew
no,
what
absolutely.
Was going to happen. So I drove out of London, and I felt slightly relieved, actually. It was a massive job. I've got my two daughters, Honey and Betsy. I'm on my own with them, and I've been doing so much travelling. And I thought, do you know what? I'm going to take a bit of time out and see where I want to go.
Yeah.
And
so were you travelling with the work?
Yeah, with the work. Yeah, I think I've done 6 overseas trips in 6 weeks.
Which is really tough when you've got a family yes. to look after
yeah.
as well.
So yeah. we had an au pair and I was doing a lot of juggling and yeah. balancing. So I was kind of relieved as I drove out of London, and I just thought, do you know what? Let's take some time out. Let's do the school run.
Mm.
Let's be present. Yeah. And then obviously there was no school run because we locked down. So right. I was just sort of thrown into homeschooling, and a friend of mine had a construction company for a long time. Mm. And it was the summer by then. It was about June time. And he said, oh, Emily, would you find some new business for me? Because he knew that was my strength. And I thought, yeah, do you know what? I can't just focus on homeschooling. I need to be doing something sure. more. And that's what I did. And I started to get in some great results for him. I think I sort of drove sort of £70,000 worth of new business
wow.
For him straight away. And then I suddenly thought, do you know what? I don't feel that hospitality is going to be bouncing back anytime soon.
I think you're right.
we were sort of standing correct there. And Accelerate was born, and we started to support clients, small to medium sized companies that don't want a permanent sales manager or whatever the title you want to give them on their P&L, but they want someone, an expert that knows and loves to do sales, like
sure.
you say.
Yeah.
And that's how Accelerate was born. So it's we're in 18 months now.
Right.
And it's all going really well. But my vision as we opened up was always to get back to hospitality.
Right.
To support it. We know, you know, when we're looking at a P&L, we know how to look at segments, how to kind of turn that business on quickly. We've got, you know, great relationships we've always already established.
Right.
So that was a real passion, and I'm glad that is actually happening now.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'm getting you dragged all over the yeah, place here, but it's fascinating because you were telling me about a client that you've been working with that has an event space.
Yes.
Yeah. Christine, yeah. Tell me about that, because this is really important for Kent. One of the things we've moaned about for a long, long time is a lack of event space at a certain mid-size. Yeah. And I think this may be addressing it.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is the Christine House. Right. It is on the London Road A2. It comes under Raynham. It's between Raynham and Upchurch.
Right, okay.
It's an absolutely fantastic, unique, really high-class venue.
Right.
The main suite can take up to 450 people seated.
Right. Okay. Seated, did you say?
Yeah, seated.
Wow, okay.
So for a banquet.
Huge venue.
Absolutely huge. It, for me, it really feels like it's come out of London and put on the A2.
Yeah.
We recently had the launch for it. And it's also got a lounge, so we're going to be serving afternoon tea, kicking off with afternoon tea.
I love afternoon tea.
Oh, you can't go wrong with afternoon tea, can you?
Warm scone, fresh cream, jam. Oh.
Yes, so we're going to be working next week to open up the lounge. I have to send the link, actually, because it's going to be a VIP preview. So we really want the business community to come sure. out and see this lounge and obviously see the lovely event space, because, like you said, Paul, it's so well needed in Kent.
It absolutely is. I mean, you've either got hotels like the Ashford International or the Great Danes or the cricket County Cricket Club, but places like that will cater for up to 100 people. People, or you go completely up the other end, which is the Kent Event Centre at the agricultural place in Detlin Hill, which has, you know, is massive, but there was nothing in between.
No.
And now there is.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, when the team at Christine House said that we could work with them, we were so excited because we thought, wow, we're back in hospitality.
Yeah.
But look at the standard that we're representing, and it is just fantastic.
Yeah.
It's got plenty of car parking all around the building, and also we're going to be launching two Airbnbs. So we're going to have six bedrooms next door.
Wow, okay.
It's got a lovely bridal suite, because obviously we're going to be able to do weddings, going to have wedding ceremonies there. The civil ceremony can take place there. But for the corporate point of view, you know, if you're having those awards dinners and you've got those guest speakers, they can come into this suite and they can get changed and ready with all their lovely black tie on and their dresses. So, yeah, it is a fantastic venue to be part of, and we're so proud to be representing it.
Absolutely. And you're quite right about awards dinners. I've been missing. I host, MC, compare lots of award dinners. And of course, they haven't happened for 2 years because, you know, they just didn't because of the pandemic and the lockdown. But this, I've just agreed to do the Seven Oaks Business Awards in June. And then we've got Ashford, Canterbury, and Maidstone Awards later in the year. And it's really nice that there's a venue that that the organisers can look at that is going to be different and is going to be a size that's useful. So I'm loving it.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's, you know, we've started to show some of the corporates around for that very same thing. And they all feel really excited that not only are we coming back after a couple of years, but it's a brand new venue to host their event in.
Absolutely.
So you're getting very positive comments about
really
it.
Yeah, really positive vibes.
And bookings?
The bookings are coming through. We're getting the inquiries. And, you know, the lounge as well. I mean, so great for the public to have somewhere else to come and, you know, have their afternoon tea or, you know, and as we open up, we'll be offering brunches and breakfast and cocktails. So, yeah, there's loads to keep coming with Christine.
Cocktails is a winner. You can make a lot of money just from cocktails and also bottomless brunches. Very, very popular.
What's a bottomless brunch?
Well, you as a teetotal, maybe you'd have a mocktail, but a bottomless brunch, well, go on, you
so
tell me what you would offer.
It's a fixed time. So you would come with your friends to enjoy some food, but it would include
Prosecco
unlimited alcohol for those 2 hours.
See what I did there?
That's you don't want to invite Jules because that could be dangerous. You could go bust very quickly.
But the thing is, in London, you know, in London you can go and you can get beautiful breakfast anytime. You know, you can go to a park and get the best breakfast ever. Come to Whitstable and of a weekend, you know, I swim or whatever, walk the dog and that. And then about 11 o'clock, me and the new husband want to stroll out and have breakfast. And you go there and they go, oh, we stopped serving at 11. And
what's
that's
that, McDonald's?
It. No, the lovely little, you know, small businesses. And we've got some great breakfast venues. But because they've got tiny kitchens in Whitstable, you know, they're cottagey, fishermen's cottages and things. So they make more money, they reckon, out of the lunches. But we know, we really like our little breakfast out. So bottomless brunch, it's a London thing, but it will come to Kent, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we're going to look at all of those things.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Right, I want to move on a little bit, if I may, and this could be a bit of a challenging question. Yeah,
I like a challenge.
because of the rubbish way I'm going to ask the question more than anything. Can you highlight, Emily, the essence of selling? And what I mean by that is you quite clearly are enthusiastic and passionate about selling. What do you think it takes to sell? Or maybe turn it the other way around. Why do you think so many people are scared of selling?
I think it's because the whole process can be quite lengthy.
Right.
I think, you know, talking to some business owners in the past, if it doesn't happen straight away, they think that it's a model that perhaps doesn't work at all.
Yeah.
But it's really not. It really is about establishing and developing a relationship.
Yeah.
It's that whole know, like and trust piece.
Yeah.
And, you know, and when we started putting our packages together, and I'm very optimistic, and at first, when I first launched a business, it was like, oh, work with us for a minimum of 3 months.
Mm.
Now we've got a CRM system and all our activity is tracked. I can really say that it doesn't really happen within 3 weeks, 3 months. You know, you're always going to get those right time conversations that, boom, excellent, what a great day. But really, it happens after 3 months because, you know, at the end of the day, people have got their own business priorities. You know, even if I called the next day, as great as I can have a conversation, it's not really important for them right there and then.
Yeah.
So I think with sales, it's about, you know, my mum always used to say, you know, you've got two ears, one mouth. And really, that is what sales is about.
I think you've nailed it. I mean, you've absolutely nailed it. Being on the receiving end, because I've got a number of businesses, I get contacted lots and lots and lots. And you're absolutely right. Even professional salespeople, so-called professional salespeople, they want to sell you something there and then. Yeah. So they'll contact me and they go, "Do you want to buy X?" And I go, "No." And then there's no more conversation. That's the end of the conversation. I go, "No, I don't." Sorry, bye. You know, and you think, why do you do that? You know, the chances of you hitting it right and infinitesimally small. The chances of me sitting here going, "Do you know what? I need some crayons," and somebody ringing up and going, "Do you want to buy some crayons?" It just ain't going to happen. Yeah, you've got to build a relationship and be there when that need arises. Like, "Oh, it was that Emily. She sold crayons. I need to talk to her."
That's exactly it. And I think with the team as well, it's like, you know, I'm calling you today, Paul, and you're not ready to buy your new set of crayons.
Yeah.
But because I've used the right questioning technique and I've opened up the conversation, you're telling me that actually you start looking at your crayon buying in June.
Yeah.
So I'm going to call you back at June. So we never see a no as a no.
Yeah.
Because we're always probing and asking better questions so we can get our clients better results.
Yeah. I think, you know, you're absolutely right. The whole sales process is about establishing a relationship and getting to know someone and then finding out, you know, the ins and outs of what they do. But you're right, you know, so many people, it drives me bonkers, especially on LinkedIn. LinkedIn's one of the worst things for this. You get a connection request, you connect, and the next thing you know, you get a message and they go, "Oh, do you want to buy this?" They haven't even read my profile. You know, the amount of people that try to sell me things that I do is would you like a website? Well, if I did, I'd use my web development agency to do it, don't you think?
You've got to get your, I think you've got to do your homework. Because like you say, otherwise if you don't, you get people's backup straight away, and then how can you even begin to build a relationship with that person? But it's great that you mentioned LinkedIn, because when we're actually focusing on other activities, we are bringing in LinkedIn now. So, you know, companies have got a campaign, and then we're making it less digital, more human. So we're giving that human element.
You know, from my point of view, that it is so obvious that that LinkedIn is a very useful tool. Yeah, because it means that you can actually do a lot of research before you've even spoken to anyone. You know, you can look them up. You can see what they do. They've written a CV there, for goodness sake. You can follow what they've posted, so you know what interests them and what they're doing. So it staggers me when people use LinkedIn but don't use it, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, to do their homework. Exactly. Yeah, you've got all the information there. You've got the results.
Yeah.
You know, use it right.
Yeah. You know, and for me, if I use it, you know, I see something and I'll ring someone and I'll go, "Hey, Emily, I saw you posted about crayons the other day. That was interesting. What made you do that? Is crayons something that you know?" So you immediately relate to someone based on their activities, not on just a random, "Do you want to buy an orange?" type of thing. I just can't understand why people have a resource and then don't use it.
No, frustrated.
But I see that a lot with Google. The amount of people that ask you questions and you go, "Have you never thought of just Googling it?"
I think it's about as well, and I train my team, it's about being human as well. You know, our approach is not robotic, it is human. And I really just train my team to say, at the end of the day, the person that you talk to is just earning a living like you and I.
Yeah, sure.
So let's make it human. And I think that just works really well. And be yourself as well.
Yeah.
Don't go trying to be something that you're not, because people just see that right through it. And once you've knocked someone's trust, then you're back to square one again.
It's interesting because now I know you and I know what you do. I actually can recommend you a lot, because I get asked a lot by small businesses if I know people that are freelance salespeople. And you go, not really. But intrinsically, that's what you are, although at a much higher level. Yeah. So what they're trying to do is bring in an outside resource rather than hire someone to do it. Yes. Yeah. So I think what you're doing is marvellous, because for SMEs especially, the vast majority of SMEs don't like the selling process, don't know how to do selling. They didn't go into business to sell. I know that sounds stupid, but, you know, if you think about, you know, a plumber or an electrician or a florist or something, they're plumbers, electricians and florists. They're not salespeople.
No,
yeah,
exactly that.
Yeah. I want to ask you another question as well about the sales process, which is cold calling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, is it still a thing, and does it work? I think I know what you're going to tell me, but I need to ask the question as well, because a lot of people go, oh, you know, that's not how you sell anymore. You don't use the phone anymore. So what's your views on it?
Yeah, definitely do still use the phone.
Yeah.
But I think, again, you know, when we're working with different prospects for different clients, it's all about understanding how that prospect wants to be sold to.
Yeah.
You know, what is their personality type? What talks to them? Is it a LinkedIn message?
Yeah.
So you have to have massive emotional intelligence to be a good salesperson, rather than just thinking, oh, I'm amazing and I'm going to just sell to you, and why wouldn't you want to listen to me? It's like, no, let's really understand what makes this prospect tick. Mm. And then we really know where we're going and how they want us to communicate. So, you know, you can tell straight away. Sometimes you won't have a successful sales call.
Yeah.
The next one you pick up is fantastic, because they want to talk and they want to chat.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's all about understanding your prospect and how they want to be contacted.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that drives me mad, and I'm sure other people like it, but I don't, is you get these messages from someone that you've never spoken to in your life before, and they'll go, hello, Paul, my name's Roger. I sell paper clips. I'm in your area next week. I'm going to pop in. Is Friday okay for you? We go, yeah, you can pop in on Friday if you want. I'm not going to be there, but you can pop in.
Yeah, you can never assume in sales. I think that, again, like you're saying, that could easily get people's back up, isn't
it? Yeah, well, it certainly does for me. I know, I'm sure some people don't mind and they're quite happy with it, but for me, I just find that really, really annoying.
Yeah.
Okay, so really what we've established is quite rightly, it's about establishing a relationship with someone, getting to know them, getting to know their ins and outs, and not overtly trying to sell them things until you know what they want to buy.
Absolutely. But at the beginning, we really work hard with our clients to understand their target market.
Mm.
So if we've understood that target market correctly, it isn't really selling, is it? We're offering people a solution.
Something they want, yeah. Do you find, that's an interesting thing that you just said, do you find that the vast majority of SMEs, not your clients, but people that aren't your clients, the vast majority of SMEs don't even know what their target is?
Correct.
You know, I talk to people and I go, who are you selling to? And I go, anyone.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. No, correct. Yeah, so we can support the clients with that all the way through, from and even doing that whole sort of training piece almost with them.
Right, okay.
But yeah, you're completely right.
So would you go into their office and run them through a training program,
yes,
for example?
Yeah, we could do that, and we could do that with their team, and perhaps if they've got people taking the orders but they want them to be more proactive than reactive, we can help them support them to do
and
that.
And also
switch.
About keeping the customer on board as well, once you've got them.
Yeah, that's a big
so
one.
So important.
Absolutely. That is an interesting facet of this, isn't it? Is both customer account management and upselling.
Yes.
Yeah. So basically, account management is about keeping a customer on board and happy and all the rest of it, and getting to know a customer, and then upselling. So the customer might buy a crayon. I don't know why I picked on crayons, but anyway.
Crayons are good.
Yeah. So a customer might be buying crayons, but if someone gets to know them, you go, have you ever thought about using felt tip pens?
Exactly.
And they go, oh, I don't know. And you go, well, we've got a range of felt tip pens. You know, so you get to know your client, you sell them something, and then you think about something else you can sell them from your product range.
Yeah, because we have two packages. So we'd have the generate package, which is generating new business, and retain and develop.
Right, okay.
Because we found when we was talking to business owners, A lot of business owners don't actually have a procedure in place to keep in touch with their clients.
Right.
And, you know, they could be sitting on a gold mine. And also, you know, that whole, we almost do like a family tree with their top accounts. So we start to map it out. So, yes, we've got a brilliant relationship with Mrs. Smith in the sandwich office. So if that's the case, then why aren't we dealing with Folkestone?
Yeah.
And we start to map that out just to increase their market share so we can support with that practice as well.
Fantastic. Emily, really great talking to you about it. It's something that you're passionate about. All of us in business need to think more about. For the moment, thank you very much. Can you give us a shout out for your website so that people that want to follow up and find out more about what you do or start a conversation with you know where to go?
Yes, so it's www.accelerate-consulting.co.uk. And I'm going to send out, obviously, the Christine House launch, which is next Thursday, the 7th, 12 till 3. It's an open house, but we are asking people to RSVP to us at Accelerate, just so we're going to cater for all those lovely afternoon teas.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
And perhaps with a little bottle of Prosecco, some strawberries.
She'll be there with a straw. The lovely folks at Accelerate have just today started their new Twitter handle. So if you're out there, give them a follow on Twitter. It's @AccelerateUK_. @AccelerateUK_. Give them a follow on the Twitter.
And if you look on our Twitter handle, you'll see Emily in action on the video there. So you'll be able to see her.
Fantastic. Emily, thank you so much for that.
Thank you. Thanks.
Pleasure to talk to you. We've got a few minutes left of the show, so we better crack on.
Thank you very much.
Did you read out Martin Reeves is about the petrol? You did, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
Okay, and Zeenat Noorani is sitting there and she's nursing. So her symptoms are a cough, a little scratchy throat, which is what most people seem to get. And she's a bit bunged up. So get well soon. Lots and lots of nice drinks there, I think, hot drinks.
Zeenat's also said selling is such a huge topic that is often discussed, especially for small business owners and those starting out. A lot is also mindset and belief around this. I agree, you have to listen and build relationships, absolutely. Yeah.
The Halifax Bank in Margate High Street is going to close later this year.
Mm.
Another one going. It's awful. It's wrong for the locals, isn't it?
Digital.
But still, yeah. Mm. It's been announced that a total of 60 branches across the UK have been axed by parent company Lloyds Banking Group. The closures are set to take place throughout the summer and into the early autumn, with cuts affecting the Bank of Scotland, Lloyds and the Halifax branches. The Margate branch has a closing date of Monday, July the 18th. Lloyds has 18.6 million regular online banking customers and over 15 mobile app users. 15 million, sorry. In the last year, the number of mobile bank users within the group has increased by 27%. Back in October last year, it was announced that the Halifax branch is in Sevenoaks would close in a similar cut made by the banking giant. But they don't say in those figures how many people go into High Street, which would be helpful.
Yeah, the thing about that is if you haven't got a branch to go in, you really haven't got a lot of choice, have you?
Exactly, you know? Exactly. And sometimes you just need to go in and talk to someone or deposit something. Or
You know, I mean, in my business bank, you can go in and take cash out and queue at a teller window, but you can't speak to anyone.
I know.
If you go, I want to talk to somebody about my account, and go, oh, no, ring the helpline.
Yeah. And how long do you have to hang on?
Yeah.
It's, sorry, I'm just taking a picture of that. It's also about the footfall in the high street, isn't it? Mm. Because if all we've got in the high street left is coffee shops and hairdressers and barbers.
Yeah.
If we lose our banks, because often you'd go to the bank, you do your banking, whatever, and then you go and have a little coffee and some lunch and you might have a business meeting and meet somebody. So it all takes you into the high street, which online doesn't.
I tried to tout a solution to this a long time ago and nobody was interested. The problem for the banks is that high street premises are incredibly expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. And mostly tax again.
Yeah.
What I said is, why do you need five banks all in the same high street?
Yeah.
Can't you have one building with five?
Shared rental for the five. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a really good idea. When did you tell them this?
Oh, ages ago. Right. And no, it won't work. But the thing is, when I worked in banking 30 years ago and we were developing ATMs, you know, the Link system, for instance, started off as a collaborative project between all the banks. And then basically, instead of the Link system, we just said, oh, I tell you what, you can use your card in any old bank ATM. So basically, the banks do collaborate. So why can't you all go, do you know what? We're going to rent one building in every high street, and all the six major banks will have a teller station in there.
I mean, but they could also be, like you say, they could have a hot desking hub there. They could, you know, they could do other things. They could sell milk. I don't know anything. But it's wrong to be losing these lovely little institutions.
Well, the thing is, they're driving everyone away. You know, the main reason for banks' buildings was retail shops depositing their cash.
Yeah.
But increasingly, they don't want you to take cash either. Anyway, do you know what we're going to do next?
We're going to do the uninterrupted FSB.
We're going to do the uninterrupted by you FSB news.
My lips are pursed.
Are they?
They are.
Here we go.
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup. Offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
As always with the FSB News, I'm going to read out loads and loads of things that are happening. And then at the end of that, I'm going to give you a link where you can find all of them, find out more and book any tickets that you may or may not want. Thursday the 31st of March at 11 a.m. is Ethnic Minority Led Business Networking. This takes place on the last Thursday of each month, and it's virtual networking for the ethnic minority FSB members, and non-members are welcome too. On Manana, Wednesday the 30th, tomorrow, what to do if running your business feels hard? 11 till 12, join FSB and Inspirational Coach Jim Hughes for this unmissable virtual webinar where you will hear what to do if running your business feels hard. That's tomorrow, Manana, Wednesday the 30th at 11. Also tomorrow, there's a meeting with Paul Scully, MP. Manana, Wednesday the 30th of March, 10 a.m. to 10:45. We would like to invite you to a virtual discussion with Paul Scully, MP. Paul is the Small Business Minister, and it's taking place from 10 a.m. to 10:45 online. So you can check that out. Then on Thursday the 7th of April, what is ESG and how to tackle your ESG strategy? Are you looking for more information on environmental, social and governance? Then join FSB and our host of experts who will help you demystify this area. That's Thursday the 7th of April at 11 a.m. On Wednesday the 6th of April is the Southeast England Women in Enterprise virtual networking, 11:45 to 1 p.m. It's a brunch. And then on Tuesday the 5th of April, find your social media edge, 12:30 to 1:30. In this webinar, social media marketer, mentor and influencer, marketing expert Karina Scott from Girl About Social will tell you how to take your social media from a source of guilt, frustration to a place of excitement. Well, that sounds good. What else have we got?
Definitely like a place of excitement, don't
you? Yeah, absolutely. Monday the 4th of April, my poor old dad's birthday would have been.
The Victor.
11 a.m. to 12:30, Leading Change is the fourth in a series of post-lockdown leadership events with FSB member Stuart Maddox. That's Monday the 4th of April. And then Wednesday the 27th of April, Maximise Your Membership. Now more than ever is the time to make sure you're making the most of your FSB benefits. It's Wednesday the 27th of April, 12:30 to 1:30 p.m. Financial planning for your business, Tuesday the 26th of April, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. You'll like this one. Selling online from start up to success, Friday the 29th of April at 12 p.m. Wednesday the 20th of April, 10 a.m. networking, Let's Talk Technical. This is a national network designed to grow your contacts within this sector and give you some business opportunities. Friday the 22nd of April, 10 a.m. to 11:30, the big networking event, Spring Back to Business. Be part of the FSB big networking event this spring and connect with hundreds of small business owners from across the UK. So all those events can be found by going to kempersesradio.co.uk/FSB. And there's a full breakdown of all the details and the booking links to book your what are normally free events. And one final thing, the FSB has launched Making Tax Digital app. They've partnered with Rhino Software, whose HMRC recognised app is designed to help you follow the new Making Tax Digital rules. It helps record your expenses, create invoices and submit your VAT return directly to HMRC in the FSB Making Tax Digital app. You can go to kempersesradio.co.uk/MTD-app and find out all about it. And there's also a download link for your Android or iPhone. And that is the FSB news for another week.
Beautifully read, Paul Andrews. We have millions of the old style paper £20 and £50 notes that remain in circulation. But the Bank of England is withdrawing them later this year in favour of those with a more plastic-like feel, which are harder to copy. I don't like those plastic.
No, they're horrible, aren't they?
They are. It's like Monopoly money or something. Yeah. With just
Just to interrupt. When they were first thinking about it...
It's the uninterrupted...
we've done that. When they were first thinking about it, I was one of the people they experimented with, and they gave me an early copy of the notes, and I went, well, I don't like them.
Yeah.
And I said, if you drop one of these anywhere near something hot, it'll shrivel like a crisp bag. You know, when we used to throw your Golden Wonder bag on the fire and it would shrink to like an inch square. Well, so do those notes if they get hot. And they're also, you can't really fold them very well. No, and they're very slidey.
I find they're slidey, I agree. And also, you kind of, when I'm dealing with them, I don't really deal with cash much anymore, but when I do...
That's the idea.
You feel you've got... You're not sure how many you've got there. Do you know what I mean? No, they're quite hard to separate.
Yeah, they are. They're incredibly hard to counterfeit, which is a lot of the issue.
Which is good, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, everything's being driven towards doing away with cash, isn't it?
Yeah.
It just is. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You know, they shut bank branches. Shops incredibly now go, we don't take cash, mate.
Well,
card only.
We're talking about the Great Reset, aren't we?
Yeah, well, quite possibly. But
it's all a bit spooky.
Yeah.
Shall I read this?
Yeah, go on.
So millions of old-style paper £20 and £50 notes remain in circulation, but the Bank of England is withdrawing them later this year in favour of those horrid plastic-like feel ones, which are harder to copy. With just 6 months to go until the paper notes will no longer be valid on the high street and accepted as legal tender, people are being encouraged to spend or deposit them as soon as possible. When the plans were first announced last October, there were estimated to be about £9 billion worth of paper £20 and £15 billion worth of paper £50 notes still in circulation. So they are being returned steadily to the Bank of England, they say, and as they're replaced with a new polymer notes, which allow for more security features that make them harder to counterfeit. So I bet people have got them, you know, everywhere, like in a jean pocket, in the washing machine going around. I'm always washing notes and my new husband's.
Imagine that. There's, what was it, over £20 billion worth of old notes still in circulation.
Around, under the mattress.
How many of those are never going to get handed in?
In a biscuit tin in the cupboard.
Yeah. How many of those are never going to get handed in? It's scary, isn't it? You know, every few decades we go through something like this. It's like decimalisation. That was one of the biggest cons of all time.
Oh, I was trying to make a crumble on Mother's Day, and I still work in pounds and ounces in my head. It's what I was brought up to do.
Yeah.
And I just don't measure anything. I know that a heaped tablespoonful of flour is an ounce.
Yeah.
You know, it's quite easy. And sugar, lob it in. I know that a butter used to be, you could halve it.
And is that a knob?
A knob of butter, darling.
Yeah.
A big knob of butter. If you do it in half, that's like 4 ounces. So you could sort of play around with it. And then I go and look at, you know, I Googled a recipe and it's all in grams. And and I can't do that, you see. I have to weigh it all. It's very boring.
But the thing for me, though, about the con of decimalisation back in, when was it, 1971?
Yeah.
Was that, you know, I remember going into newsagents on my way to
in
work.
In your Oxford bags? Or your loons?
No, I was wearing flares.
Were you? Loons.
And clogs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I went and bought a Mars bar.
And a two-tone shirt.
No, I was wearing a Chiefs cloth shirt, if I remember rightly, that day.
With a little seam down the back.
I can remember that day.
And button collars.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, check.
No, I had a granddad collar.
I did it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was red and white, striped. Yeah.
Cool, I bet you were bright. What colour were your loons?
Purple. Denim.
Oh, denim loons.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah,
red
yeah.
clogs.
Yeah, I'm getting a picture of you now.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Okay.
A bit like Mark Boland, I'm getting.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, talking of Mark Boland, did you see... No, did you see Phil Wilson, Pip, is standing in drummer for T-Rex to see.
Is he? Yeah. So who's that? Is it Mickey Finn? Can't be Mickey
Finn.
No,
it's the tribute band.
Is it?
Tribute band,
when
yeah.
When are they on?
They've been on tour this week. Look at his Facebook page.
We love to boogie. Yeah, anyway, you were saying...
Was I? Oh, yeah.
You're in your loons and you're going into a bank.
On the day of decimalisation, I went into my local newsagents and I bought a Mars bar and it was 4 new pence.
Right.
The day before decimalisation, it was 4 old pence. Yeah.
Wow.
Some of them just changed the D to a P
yeah.
and doubled the price. A bit like petrol. Yeah, now. Mm. Yeah, it's con.
See, now I want a bag of crisps. You've mentioned crisps and Mars bar in one show. Now I want them both.
Control yourself, woman.
I know. I have no control. Yeah. I have no control. Yeah. And I have a little thing here. What's this? Celebrating the anniversary. This is Christchurch University.
Oh, yeah.
It's their 60th year. So younger than us, in other words.
Just.
They'll be remembering and celebrating everyone, everything they've achieved through a number of events, community engagement activities and much more. There's going to be, all details will be on Kent Business Radio after the show, but the enterprise and engagement team will be running the first of 4 themed walks throughout the Jubilee year. So on the 11th of April, which is a Monday at 12 p.m, starting at the Old Sessions House, their Easter-themed networking event will be an opportunity to network and to find out more about the university and its collaborations in history. I like the idea of this. And then they'll be guiding walkers through some of the campus's most historic areas, winding through St Martin's Priory, which dates back to AD 597. That's even older than you.
Slightly.
AD 597. We will be discussing how it's the oldest church building in England and it's still functioning as a parish church. I should be reading this in AD language.
You should do, yeah.
What would that be?
Saxon.
Oh, Saxon, right. Part of the World Heritage Site, along with Canterbury Cathedral and St Augustine's Abbey. It's also the oldest church in the English-speaking world with Grade 1 listing. Well, well, well. So that's Monday the 11th of April, starting at 12 p.m. at the Old Sessions House. And, lots there. So that will be details about Christchurch Uni celebration will be on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Interestingly, St Augustine's Church, next door to it is Boughton, the girls' boarding house from the King's School Canterbury.
Okay.
And the King's School Canterbury is the oldest extant school in the world.
It's very old.
It's 1,500 years
old.
Yeah,
I've seen the walls. Yeah. They're really old.
There's a funny thing amongst private schools. You know, a lot of people talk about their...
heritage.
Their ex-pupils, you know.
Right.
You know,
alumni.
Yeah. That's the chap.
Yeah.
Alumni.
If only we could say it.
Yeah. Well, Canterbury, King's Canterbury have 3 saints, the alumni.
Really?
yeah. St Augustine, St Dunstan, and another one I can't remember.
Wow.
Yeah.
And St Stuart.
No, I don't think he made saint. He was lucky to hang on. This is my youngest son. He was lucky to hang on to the end there without being expelled.
They're always the best in the end.
Yeah,
they're the entrepreneurs, aren't they?
Yeah. I'd like to personally, not me, the person writing this email, I'd like to personally invite you to join me on the stunning Leeds Castle in Kent on the 12th of May for the best night's sleep you'll ever have, because it will directly help us to change somebody's life. The 12th of May at Leeds Castle, Kent. The last 2 years have been tough for all of us, but imagine if you had no home, no bed, no food and nowhere to felt safe. As the cost of living rises, we need to make sure everyone has a safe and secure roof over their heads. Comfy beds, soft pillows, peace and quiet. I can't promise any of those things, but our night under the stars at Leeds Castle could be one of the best sleeps you've ever had, because you'll be raising funds that could change someone's life. That's truly something worth giving up one night of comfort for. Huge thanks for your support and look forward to hearing from you. And that's from Chloe Seymour, who's the fundraising manager. You can drop an email to Chloe Seymour at Leeds Castle to find out more about it.
And who else have we got? Don't forget Adrian Kinney, we mentioned before. So his details will be on Kent Business Radio after the show, if not already. There's a webinar, which is about the six priority projects being taken forward about the Folkestone Place Plan. So, yeah, we've seen that Folkestone Town Centre is thriving with their creative quarter. And they have an event. The council's begun work with a consultant team to design and develop the priority projects set out in the Folkestone Place Plan, which was approved by the council last September. And the work will include engagement with partners, stakeholders and the local community on the detail of the projects, which may be part of an application for the government's levelling up funding. This provides support for local authorities to deliver transformational investment into town centres. And the details of that event will go on kentbusinessradio.co.uk. I don't have the date on that press release, but it will be on the Kent Business Radio website. And go on.
Oh, can I have a go?
Yeah, go on.
You sure?
Yeah, yeah. I just saw the time, so I bet that's too long to read.
Yeah, no, we haven't got very long. We've only got a minute or so left. Yeah. Business Awards 2022. Applications are now open for the Ashford, Canterbury, Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells Business Awards. Each of those areas has the same categories for each area, which are customer service, innovation, startup company less than 3 years old, small business, businesswoman of the year, best family business and best construction business. You can find out about each of the awards by going to www.businessawardskent.co.uk, and there's an award dinner scheduled to happen in December.
Lovely. December. Gosh, yeah. I'm just recovering from last December.
Right. Have you got anything else?
Yes, I have. The number of projects happening for Maidstone Borough Council. They're sprucing up the banks of the River Medway near to Lock Meadow Entertainment Centre. And they're welcoming back visitors as part of English Tourism Week, which runs on until Sunday the 27th of March. What's the date today? I've got no idea.
Today?
29th
today. It's the 29th.
Oh, so you've lost that. But they are working with the Environment Agency. So you'll find out more by going to 3Ws, visitmaidstone.com, because they've got lots more on Maidstone, and huge major revamps for the Staplehurst Skate Park, which now looks spectacular. And they want everyone to know that in Maidstone, you're welcome. Come in and find out for yourself.
Fantastic. We're thrilled that our director, Siobhan Sterling, took titles for the fifth year in a row at the 2022 Kent Women in Business Awards. Siobhan won Best Employer and Best Business over 5 years. Sharp Minds, which is the name of her company, was also a runner-up in the PR and marketing category. So fantastic. Well done, Siobhan and the team at Sharp Marketing. That brings us to the end of another show. Thank you all so much for joining us. Thank you to the lovely Emily Lockwood
of
Accelerate Sales Consultancy, to our sponsors, Talis IFA, to my stonkingly gorgeous co-host, Jill Serkin. We'll be back with another show next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.